Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings, and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org. Referrals for MSPs, Part 9, Communication Sabotage, Subsection D. As a quick recap from last time, we looked at the why of those question qualifiers, namely why, what, who, how, when and where. And they are in this order: neglecting to ask for referrals in the first place due to a lack of a process, ignoring non-verbal customer feedback, not requesting feedback or handling bad feedback poorly, little or inconsistent communications, lack of differentiation, lack of engagement strategies, failure to acknowledge or reward referrals, miscommunication during onboarding, and lastly, poor communication of changes of services or procedures or policies. And now in this section, we'll be covering referral sabotage around the what, i.e. what it is that you actually offer. And I'm sure that you'll agree with me that it's pretty frustrating when you hear that one of your clients has bought a service or a product from a competitor, but when you ask them about it, they say, "Oh, I didn't know that you sold that." Now this is at the heart of the matter. I don't care how good a company you run, there is always, always, always daylight coming in from the gaps between what you could sell and what you should sell to your clients and what you actually do sell to them. So let's start with the very basics and let's work outwards. In terms of your existing clients, they should all be aware of the products and services that they are currently buying from you. And if they don't, then I'd suggest that this is certainly down to a lack of communication right there, which needs to be addressed before anything else. So at the very least, I'm assuming that you have regular account calls or meetings with them to ascertain the requirements and the well-being of their IT estate. And here is where they'll be made aware of what they currently buy from you. And this is also where you can and should make them aware of other eventualities where they might require other products and services from you. Now, all of this is achieved easily enough when you've got a matrix of all the products and all the services that you could supply, and then you tick off all the products and services that they actually do receive from you, so that ultimately you can make them aware of those missing pieces of the jigsaw. Now obviously they might not necessarily need what's in those particular gaps, and so it wouldn't always be appropriate to try and sell those things. For example, a client might be using PCs and servers running Windows software, so there would be little point trying to sell them Apple or Linux based antivirus solutions for those particular machines. There's no point in trying to sell ink for an Epson printer when they got a perfectly good Dell printer, for example. Now, of course, all that is obvious, but that's not to say that they shouldn't be at least aware of the other products and services, because who knows who else they will be talking to at some other time. So my suggestion here would be that you simply stick to the plan and discuss their own requirements and map out what their estate should and could have. But once you finish that, there's nothing stopping you including some collateral which shows the other products and other services that you sell. At the very least, you can include a sentence or two which outlines that you can provide a comprehensive range of other products and services in case they happen to know anyone that might need it. And perhaps you can include a few examples. So to be clear here and to reiterate the point, I'm not suggesting that you spend much time discussing or promoting Apple products to someone that's perfectly happy and catered for by using Windows products or vice versa, because it probably wouldn't be appropriate and might well alienate them. All I am suggesting is that you ensure that your clients are at least aware that you can offer the alternatives in case they know anyone else that might be using Apple products or Windows products or what have you, and who might want some help or advice about those. Now again, obviously it's a fine line and it requires some common sense here. So for now, let's just undertake a little revision for a moment in terms of maximizing sales and revenue for your MSP business. Put simply, your revenue is the product of your value multiplied by your volume. Another way of saying this is that your total revenue in any period is equal to the average transactional value of a sale multiplied by the volume of sales in that period. So if you want to increase your revenue, then you can either increase your value or your volume or both. Just for a moment, let's imagine that you're a grocery shop owner rather than an MSP. So the revenue that you get per period, either each day or week or month or quarter or year, is the average basket valued multiplied by the volume of baskets that you sell in that period. And so drilling down, you can increase the average basket value in three ways. Number one, you can increase the prices of the contents within that basket. Now this is quick and it adds profit directly to your bottom line, and that's assuming there's no corresponding reduction in volume. And price elasticity is a conversation for another day, but it certainly encourages conversations to be had around offering premium price products and tiered pricing so that your clients can get the opportunity to select the more expensive versions of what they already buy. Now in that grocery shop owner's case, the shopkeeper could promote premium products such as a premium chocolate bar or washing powder or whatever. You, however, can promote high-end IT solutions. To be clear, even if the clients don't buy it, the very act of having contrast in the pricing can help. So for example, a florist could offer a great big magnum bunch of the most expensive orchids for the most important of occasions, and it might cost an eye-watering £500, say. I've just made that figure up. And perhaps people don't even buy it, or they hardly ever buy it, but it certainly makes a bunch of flowers priced at £50 look a lot more affordable, simply due to the power of contrast. And without that contrast, £50 for a bunch of flowers might well look expensive. So the takeaway here is, how can you translate that into an offering for your IT products and services, i.e. what very high-end things can you at least mention in conversation which provide you with price contrast, which you can then use to help increase your average order value. So that's pricing in a very, very small nutshell. Number two is the size of the basket items. So in the grocer's case, if somebody was going to buy perhaps 500 grams of a product like soap or sugar or coffee or whatever, then maybe they could be persuaded to buy it in larger sizes. McDonald's are great at this, of course, and when you ask for a drink like a Coca-Cola, they'll automatically ask you if you want it as a regular or as a large. Now, to my mind at least, things that are very scalable include products such as speed or bandwidth or memory. Just look at how some broadband providers upsell their packages. So that means there will be strategies that you can use to increase the size of the average transactions. And this is basically upselling, i.e. selling more of the same products and services to people that already buy from you so that the average order value is higher. Another great example from consumer goods that I can think of is shampoo. And it's brilliant if you think about it. If you ever read the package, they tell you to wash your hair with it and then rinse and then repeat. That's absolute genius. They've just doubled your consumption of the product just by using the word repeat. So how can you apply this as an MSP owner? It's time to get creative. So again, in a very small nutshell, that's upselling. Now in contrast, cross-selling covers promoting and selling different products and services that the client may not already be using from you. So to be clear, these products and services could be yours or they could be somebody else's. Amazon are amazing at this. Every time you buy a product from them, they offer a whole slew of other products and they suggest things that other people bought, which also adds social proof as a form of persuasion too. So buy a pair of shoes and you might also want to buy some boot polish or shoelaces. Buy a burger and you might also want fries or nuggets as a side order. That's cross-selling, and it means cross-selling your own products and services. You get the idea. In terms of promoting other people's products, this again needs to be done very delicately so as not to annoy people, because theoretically you could offer to sell everything under the sun. But keeping things simple, a couple of examples from other industries include maybe selling breakdown cover if you're selling cars, or if you're a hairdresser, you can promote hair products. So you get the idea, and shortly this is going to bring us neatly full circle back to the realms of B2B referrals. An MSP might very easily cross-promote cyber insurance, for example, because it's logical and it's a relevant potential add-on to the business. So just finishing off now with a basic framework around value times volume, the last part of the equation is frequency. So if you can get the average order value up for the basket in terms of price and size, then getting the shopper to come back more frequently is another lever to pull. And you'll see this employed in various different industries, either from getting haircuts more frequently to getting your car serviced more often. And in fact, increasing consumption in this way is precisely why the fashion industry makes us think that our perfectly good clothes are unfashionable. And it also explains forced obsolescence in various products, especially within the tech industry. And it's great for profit, of course, but it can cause havoc for the environment, but it's probably best I don't get on my soapbox about that. But in terms of frequency, the best thing that smart MSPs decided to do in terms of increasing frequency was to switch from a break-fix model to that of monthly recurring revenue. However, even if you've got a monthly recurring revenue model, are there still areas within your business where you can still increase frequency of purchase? So have a good look and again, be a bit creative here. So that's looking at value times volume. Next time, we'll look at a communications overview for each of your stakeholders so that you can maximize your value and your volume both internally for your products, also externally for those in your value chain, and then get this back on track to dealing with referrals. Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings, and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org.